All right. Praise the Lord. It's true. I used to preach really fast and sell. I was pretty good at it. So, but I'm just going to take a minute because I know that with God. I used to say God never sleeps because God used to have a way of waking me up at 5 in the morning, 3 in the morning, and getting me to pray till 7 in the morning in tongues, then in English, in tongues, then in English. And then I would go to church and do church stuff. And then I would go witnessing, and I'd do like some deliverances because I used to work with people in the occult. And when you work with those people, you tend to bump into them late at night in different places. Or they'll call you late at night, but that's another story. And so I'd be like, oh, God. And so he's got perfect timing. And now is the time. For somebody who's waiting to get married, I'll tell you this even right now. God has perfect timing. He knows when you need your husband or your wife or whatever you need the most, and you don't. Does that make sense? God knows what you need in the perfect time, and we don't. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that his spirit searches our spirit, and he goes into the deep things of our spirit, and he groans and intercedes for us from our spirit things that we cannot even express. And Bill and Sue, they're soaking coordinators. I think they're national or international soaking coordinators. And part of the move, southwestern Ontario, and the north. Well, what I know that soaking has been a really big part of the move of the Spirit that's come to us. We were talking on Friday, because we had Stephen Sander over on Friday for lunch, and we were saying how much guts it took for them to take all the chairs out of the service and just have a soaking time with Laura Whitley one Sunday, and how we got blasted. And they said, yeah, it was really risky because a lot of people walked out because they didn't want to lay down on the floor. And we as a church, TACF has had a wonderful time laying on the floor, and I don't think we're ever going to stop receiving from God, soaking in God, contemplating God, magnifying God. And I had a prophecy a few years ago for Duncan Smith. I said to him, I said, TACF is like the offering. There's two offerings. The pagans have their offering, and they're cutting themselves and dancing around and whatever. And I really believe that that's the economy. They really believe in like money and economy, and that's their safety and that's their security. And God is like pulling the rug out from underneath all that. And then we, as Christians, we hope in God. And right now we've been soaking and soaking and soaking for years in God. And I really believe that there's going to be fire that comes down and consumes the sacrifice. And people will look upon the church and say, wow, your God is God. Amen? So, yeah, we're going to talk about city changers. You know, we have modern day city changers. My aunt, who was and does spiritual healings and did witchcraft and was in occults and did all kinds of stuff and managed the biggest health food store in Oshawa and stuff. So she was right in the whole witch thing, right? It's totally on fire right now. She watches John Hagee and all these other pastors, and she says, I just can't get enough of it. I can't get enough of it. And I'm concentrating on Jesus. And she's like, and God answers prayer, and I keep praying to Jesus, and he keeps answering my prayer. And the Holy Spirit told me I can go with the darkness or I can go with the light. And she said to me, she said, there's also, the Lord told me that there's a new knowledge that's coming. There's an acceleration that's coming in the end times. And she said, he told me to go with him, so I'm going with him. This is a miracle. You know why? I prayed for my aunt for years because every time I would talk about Jesus at Christmas, she would always talk about witchcraft. Thanksgiving, it would happen again. I would get there, my aunt would get there. I'd talk about Jesus, she'd talk about witchcraft. Now, you know who she's talking about? Jesus! Woo! And she's telling me how God answers prayer, and I could see the Holy Spirit all over her. And I'm like, He sure does. Because you were a mess 3 years ago, a year ago. And now you're on fire. And she's looking for a church, and I was telling them all about our church and Heidi Baker. And she wants to come to the conference. She wants to come to the conference. And so I'm going to talk about world changers. There's world changers like Heidi Baker. Okay, she had, I think it was 2 churches in Mozambique. She went, she got filled with the Holy Spirit. She's standing on her head, and she said, at the airport, she's standing on her head at the airport, and John Arnott looks over and says, "What's going on, Heidi?" She says, "God's going to turn my world upside down." And he did. 6,000 churches later, resurrections from the dead on a regular basis. 2 giant orphanages. They've tried to kick her out of the country and assassinate her on numerous times because they're giving up the mosques in the cities and turning them into churches. The mosque is empty and there's all these Christians here. We'll give you the mosque and you can turn it into your church because there's no Muslims left in our Islamic nation. Ha! How many know we need that in Toronto? How many of you know we need that? Reinhard Bonnke, he's been here. He goes to a city. First, it's a civic holiday because there's 3 million people there and there's resurrections from the dead and healings and massive salvations and ripples of fire go through a whole city and crime drops to zero. And it leaves change. And then the next city hears that Reinhard Bonnke is coming and they fast and repent of their sins before he gets there. Think about that. Boom. City changers. God changes cities. I remember the revival in 1994. I'll tell you where I was. I was in a house smoking drugs. I was smoking drugs, talking with my friends, and a guy who worked for me, Neil, okay? Neil gets, he's working for me. I was selling drugs. Right? I was making $2,600 a week. Okay? He's working for me, and he says to me, "I can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. I have to go with Jesus now." I'm like, "What?" It's like, "Yeah, man, I'm done. I'm going to serve Jesus." I'm like, "But what about the money? What about?" He said, "I don't care." And I remember I said to him, I said, "I believe what you believe." And he said, "No, you don't." I said, "Yeah, I do." So I went to church. I did. My mom would say, "Come to church." And I'd go to church with my mom. I figured it couldn't hurt. Right? And he said to me, he challenged me, you know, he said, "If you really believed what I believed, you wouldn't be doing what you're doing. Because what you're doing is not what the Bible says you should be doing." That's what he said to me. And it struck me, eh? And he quoted this little Bible verse about how a person who hears the words of Jesus but doesn't obey them is going to hell and all this stuff. But it shook me, eh? It actually got me to read the Bible. And then a lot of stuff changed. A lot of things changed in my life. And so what happened was Neil went around talking about Jesus, and we were talking about the strange move of God and the weird church that's up at the airport. And how people were falling down. And we all thought it was a cult at first. But Neil, at the time, he was talking a lot about end times and how Jesus was coming back. He was sure Jesus was going to come back within the next 2 years. Like, he was, like, totally sure. I don't know if that wasn't right, but it scared us enough. We were like, oh, wow, yeah. There is weird weather conditions. What happened in my neighborhood? This is a neighborhood where crack dealers sit on the fences. People stay up all night and sleep all day. 400 kids came to the Lord. 400 teenagers came to the Lord. Think about that. Then we discovered that it wasn't just us that were coming to the Lord, that there was churches that were holding double services. And there was all these buses going back and forth from the airport, school buses, actually. And we were getting on the bus because God was on the move. And our city was being changed. I'll never forget, I went to Billy Graham in 1995. How many people remember that? The stadium was full, and all around the stadium was full. There was no room for anybody. And I remember being at Billy Graham, and I could see the mist hovering over the thing. And people were like weeping and getting saved. Some people even I knew that weren't saved went to Billy Graham and they got saved. And there was all this stuff happening during that revival. And it was massive, because when I started witnessing during the revival, you know what happened? I would tell people that Jesus Christ was real and they needed to get saved, and they would just start weeping and repent. And I'd bring like 5 or 6 people to church. I got banned from going to parties because I used to crash a lot of parties, and then I'd bring them all to church. And that's how cities are changed. That really is how cities are changed. One person at a time. I'll tell you why I'm in ministry. I'll tell you. Even this last 2 weeks, I'm at Automod. I'm screwing together Ford Flexes, okay? And guy comes up to me, says, "You're a Christian, right?" I said, "Yep." He's like, "Good, because God doesn't bring people to places for nothing." And he proceeded to tell me his whole story, how his mom was saved and his wife was saved, but he wasn't saved yet. Yeah, he wanted it. So anyways, Holy Spirit spoke to him, and at the end he's like, "Thank you, bless you, you're an eloquent speaker." And he was just like, I was telling Veronique about it, I was like, "I think that guy got saved." And then the woman beside him, she was telling me how her son got saved through this youth pastor. Now she needs to start going back to church. So now she's going back to church for the last 2 weeks. Right? And then somebody else, this Polish guy, he was underneath the Iron Curtain for a while. He was really, really, really hungry. And he's just coming back to the Lord now. And I'll tell you what happens. As the Spirit of God moves on people. My wife said to me, "So what are you doing at work?" I said, "I'm speaking in tongues and praying for opportunities while I'm working." Lord, give me opportunities. It's true. I do that. And so I know about city change. I know about God changing the workplace. I'll tell you why I'm in ministry. When I really, really felt the real pull was when a few years ago, it's actually 10 years ago now, I was witnessing to people. He used to tell me to give them the sermon on the forklift. I used to sit at the lunch table and talk about Jesus, read my Bible and talk about Jesus. The Lord said to me one day, he said, "All right, Jay, I want you to go off to your forklift and just spend some time alone with me." I said, "Great." I went. At first it was hard because I love ministry. But then probably about 10 or 15 people came up to me and they said, give us the sermon. I guess the 2 years of hearing the gospel made them want the gospel. And at the end, I was ministering to so many people. It was weird because most of them wouldn't come to church for different reasons. Some of them live too far. Some of them, they all watch Nightlight, though, because we're all on evening shift. They all watch CTS. They all accepted Jesus into their heart. Some of them found churches. Some of them didn't find churches. And I got to the point when I was handing out books and Bibles and stuff in that plant where I used to have to say to people, listen, I cannot keep preaching to you. I did this at Ottawa this last 2 weeks. I can't keep preaching to you because I really have to do my job. I honestly used to have to say that on a regular basis. I was at Home Depot. They had to switch me shifts because I had 14 people at a Bible study. And I had to promise them that I wouldn't talk about it anymore. So I got them all to pray for me instead. So they pray. So I know about changing things. You know how God can use you to change the atmosphere inside a place. Because when I speak in tongues, I bind all the demons. And I ask God to reveal himself within that workplace. And I ask him to use me. That's what I do. I ask him because I really believe that whole, some of you were here at Jill and Kev's last week. Some of you weren't. That whole heavenly minded, earthly no good thing is just rubbish. I really believe that I'm supposed to have my head in heaven and my feet planted on the earth. And I'm supposed to be bringing that which is of heaven down to the earth. Does that make sense? Ha! And it's not just for us. Oh, no. Because you see, Jesus Christ died that we might be able to walk into predestined works in him. I know that's a lot to swallow. All it means is that Jesus died so he could prepare something better for us to do than to hate one another and hurt one another. Instead, he wants us to redeem one another and love one another, bless one another, lift one another up instead of push one another down. Is that clear? You know, and yeah, a lot of people, some people have problems with me because I've over the years learned to not really like retail church. Retail church is that God wants, is a personal savior, which I love George Whitefield and what he wrote and John Wesley. And at the time it was very, very, very much needed because they had a religion, but they didn't have a God. But nowadays it's the opposite. We have a God, but we don't practice religion. Religion in the sense that the kingdom of God. They had the kingdom of God, but they didn't have a personal savior. Now we have a personal savior, but we don't have the kingdom of God. Okay? And so many people would say to me, where's my breakthrough? Where's this? Where's this? And I would say, are you dreaming God's dreams for you? No. Have you heard from the Lord about what his will is for your life? What did he die on a cross for you to receive? They wouldn't know because they're so busy complaining to God that about whatever it was that they wanted that they forgot to check and see what God wanted. And so what happened was is they couldn't receive anything from God. Does that make sense? And it broke my heart, and I believe it breaks God's heart because there's so much that God has for us. If only we're willing to receive it. That's why Jesus wept over Jerusalem. He looked over the city and he wept. He said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I would cover you with my wings as a hen does her chicks. Because he saw the destruction coming in 30 years. If only you would receive me. Does that make sense? And so I'm going to talk today a lot about God becoming a public savior and not just a personal savior. Because if you want to change your city, God has to become a public savior and not just a personal savior. The Lord showed me very clearly. I was like, God, should I preach at work? You know what the Lord said to me? He said, I died publicly for you. I was stripped nude, beaten beyond recognition, and hung on a cross before the whole world. Can't you live publicly for me? That's what God said to me. And I just kind of, I was humbled and I felt really bad. And I said, yeah. Okay, God. Because he doesn't want just part of your life. He wants your whole life. But it's okay. If you give him your whole life, he gives you his whole life. I don't want to live in partial victory in the Lord. It sucks. Sorry about sucks, but it does. It's awful. And you don't have to. You don't have to. You can change a city. Jesus used Philip to bring down cities. And you know what? Philip, he wasn't a disciple. It says that the persecution came upon the church, and the church went out of Jerusalem, everybody except for the disciples. And there was on that day, when they were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria, I know the passage. And so Philip went down to the city, to Samaria, and he slammed it. There was a great man named Simon the soothsayer, and they all thought that he was awesome because he did many wonders. High people and low people listened to him. He was a superstar. Philip came along, filled with the Holy Ghost. And you know what happened? Boom, 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 revival started breaking out. Everyone got saved. Everyone got filled. They burned all their idols. And there was healing, signs, and wonders. The apostles actually took notice and ended up having to go down to that city to see what was happening. God didn't use Peter. He didn't use James. He used little Philip. Many of us are little Phillips. Many of us are little Phillips. That was the first city shaker. Apostle Paul would go to a city, a new city, and he would preach about the kingdom of God. The kingdom is here, he would preach, and he would preach about Jesus. And he said it was foolishness to those who were perishing, but life to those who were being resurrected. He trusted his God for divine appointments. And then revivals would happen. Ephesus was one of my favorite revivals. You know why? Because the riot was so violent in that city. At first, they were calling him a god, and all the people who were the heads of the temples were sacrificing bulls and calves to him. And he said, I'm not a god. Stop with your peg. And then they turned on him. And they beat him, and they put him in jail. And this is my favorite part about this whole thing. He's in the jail. How many feel like they're in jail sometimes because of their faith? Be honest. I do. Well, especially the last 2 weeks. But you know what Paul does? He sings praises to the Lord. And an earthquake hits. He's free from his chains. He can run, but he doesn't, because God probably said, hey, Paul, don't run this time. Stay here, because he's had to run before. He was led out of Damascus in a basket because a riot broke out, and 100 men started fasting and praying. They said they wouldn't eat another meal until after he was dead. I love it when people make the devil mad, because it makes God glad. They always lose anyways. But you know what happened? He stays there. The jailer gets saved. Revival breaks out in the jail. Then he goes back to the city and he starts a church. A huge church. And the magistrates who put him in jail in the first place have to apologize. So God uses little old Philip. And Philip, this isn't my computer, so. God uses Philip. He uses him mightily. And even Simon the soothsayer gets saved. I know, I had my Simon the soothsayer, my aunt. That was my Simon the soothsayer, was my aunt. And so I'm just going to talk briefly about a prophecy I had with Joseph. A few years ago, we were praying at the prayer meeting for the North Toronto's prayer meeting. And the prophecy we had was that God was going to tear down all the walls. And it was about the city and how there was a garbage strike. And inside the garbage strike, there were these dumping zones. And inside the dumping zones were places where people would bring all their trash. And one would close down and one would start up. And there was always protests around these dumping zones. But at the same time, there was no work being done in all the parks. And I don't know if anybody noticed, but there was all these wildflowers growing everywhere. And they were beautiful. And I was looking at the fields, and there was these purple irises and these yellow lilies coming up. Anybody remember that? I can't help it. God makes me notice creation and shows me stuff through it. So all these beautiful flowers going all across the meadows and all in these fields where before they would have been cut down by the city workers. And they were growing in all these places where they shouldn't have been growing. Even on boulevards, little stretch of grass, there's some dandelions, there's some irises, there's some daisies. And the Lord spoke to me through that. He said, there's going to come a time in this city where the church is actually going to let those who have a ministry outside the church, inside of a place, they're going to come spring up in places where they shouldn't be. Think about that. They're going to spring up in workplaces, he told me. They're going to spring up in office buildings. They're going to spring up in... And when Steve was talking to me about Lorette, it's awesome. This is what God showed me years ago. That the gospel needs to get outside of the walls of the church and into the rest of society. Or else society will just collapse around the church. Or it'll turn on the church. Because they'll say that the church failed it. And the Lord spoke to me. Give me a little volume here, Holy Spirit. Good. Okay. Thanks, Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit volume. It helps people listen. So, the Lord spoke to me about this. And he said, yeah, there's going to come a time. And so we're at the CN Tower. And we went to the CN Tower prayer meeting this year. And some people had some horns and stuff. And we were going to pray these prayers. But then the CN Tower staff came and they stopped us. We couldn't pray these prayers. So we broke off and started praying on our own. Now me, I was really happy. You know why? So I'm standing in the CN Tower, and there's the CBC building. There's U of T. There's all the major banks. There's the Parliament buildings for Ontario. I'm standing over top of all the major mountains. And I started praying this prayer. You know what the prayer was? Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you're going to be springing up ministries and there's going to be a supernatural favor that comes upon the Christians that are there. And we were praying for about 2 hours and I ended up getting this big crowd. I almost got in trouble. Okay? But what we were praying for was that the church would not only have the favor of God, but they would know what to do with it. That favor would not be on offense to people, because we can say, we got the favor and you don't. And it causes an offense, but that the favor of God, that we would use it in such a way that we would love people. That the spirit of rejection would not have a place. I was talking to someone recently. They said they were offended about somebody who did something dishonest to pay for a cab that they were in. And I said, you know what? You really got to learn to love. You can't tell them that you're offended. You have to tell them that you're going to pay for that cab the next time it happens. Because that will shake their world. They'll go, huh? Yeah. I really believe that Christ died for your sin and my sin. And so I'm willing to pay for your sin. And that'll break their heart. It really will. You'll see it. And you know, you will change a city one person at a time. I've been fasting and praying for years for a grassroots revival. Did you know that? That it wouldn't come from the top down, but it would come from the bottom up, because that's the way that it happened in the Bible. That God would use the little things. I'm a little thing. I can barely spell sad sometimes. I'm a little thing. To shame the wise. Jesus prayed that. That's his heart. If you believe that you're a little thing, guess what? God wants to use you. Welcome to the army of God. He doesn't want to use the proud and the boastful. Do you know why? They take the glory for themselves. I asked God once why he was using me. He said, because you're a little thing. At first I was offended, but I was like, okay, you're right, God. And he's right, he's right. He told me that, the second I stopped being a little thing and I stopped being transparent was the second people couldn't see him through me. The second I became a super Christian that didn't have any problems and was always fine was the second God would have to stop using me. You know, so I thank God that we have problems and we have testimonies and that we have God's love and grace, because the Spirit of the Lord is coming upon you and has come upon you. And has come upon you to preach the good news from here to the ends of the earth. Stephen Sanders said to us, they were talking with somebody about going who wanted to go to Africa and they wanted to support them. And they said to us, wow, how did you get so many missionaries coming out of such a small church? And I said, well, I don't know. They just got broken. I said, with the whole Lorette thing, we have three cells that are in schools, and one cell that's downtown Toronto that's for business people. Because I've tried to say it and not say it in so many ways that we really need to have a public savior and not just a personal savior. And so there's more of this Lared stuff coming down the pipe. Because God is actually aligning his church in such a way that your ministry and my ministry is going to spring up in little places. And it's going to be like a flower. And it's going to bring beauty of God, the honor of God, and a fragrance. And people are going to go to churches and there's going to be revivals all around this city. I believe that it's not going to be just TACF churches. I believe it's going to be Baptist churches and Methodist churches. And I've seen 5 or 6 denominations represented at the North Toronto Leaders. Hey, the Baptist church right now is letting us use it for worship practice. Let's leave a deposit so that when they do their worship, they're really, really surprised at what happens. So if I have the worship team come up, right now, we're just going to ask, stand up.
Not to us. Not to us.
Really?
Yes.
I believe that the question many people, and there's lots of good, faithful people in here. And I exalt you and I commend you for everything that God has done through you and how you've stood and you've decided to worship God through it all. And you've decided you've made some really tough decisions to follow God. And if you hadn't, you wouldn't be here. And I commend you for that. And so I'm not saying this to hurt anybody. But even in my own life, I do it all the time. I just did it this last 2 weeks. I said to God, I said, God, why are you holding back? Why are you holding back? And the Lord would actually show me areas in my life where I was holding back. You see, the secret is if we carry his cross, we get to experience his resurrection. So if there's any, I want you to just take a minute and just close your eyes and ask God. If there's any place in your public life, or your private life, for that matter.
Hey, whoosh.
Where he believes that you've been holding back. It could be a little thing like worship. Maybe if Paul hadn't have praised God in the jail, the earthquake wouldn't have happened. It could be a little thing. It could be a big thing, like you don't want to witness to people at your work. Or share the gospel with your neighbor. Because I'm telling you, this last wave was a wave of water. Rick Joyner prophesied that after the wave of water, there was going to be a wave of fire. And the Lord showed me a vision a long time ago of a really big forest fire, with pine trees that were burning and seeds that were dropping. And he said, through that fire, there would be new life. A brand new life. And the Bible describes the people of God as trees. And I believe that he's going to light you on fire, and there's going to be one tree to the next tree to the next tree to the next tree. And I remember the Lord spoke to me about crown fires. They're the hardest fires to stop. Do you know why? They ride along the top of the tree and then they drop down. They destroy everything. And so I'm asking God to come, Lord, from our head, supernatural signs and wonders and dreams of seeing better things, to come down from our head to our heart, and from our heart to our mouths and to our eyes. From our mouths. Could be a place where you're afraid to pray for somebody to get a healing. You say, oh, I've stepped out before and just didn't happen. It's okay. Me too. Me too. But I'll tell you this much. The 100 times I step out and it doesn't happen, the one time it does happen makes all those times worth it. The one time it does happen makes all those times worth it. It's true. I'll pray for somebody for healing 100 times, different people, and then one will happen. Boom! It will make my month. My friend Derek told me, he said, yeah. And I just kept praying and praying, and the more I prayed, the more times it happened, until finally this guy does recreative healings. So we're just going to take that moment right now and just ask God, is there anything in my life, any place where I'm holding back? I want you to ask God to give you the strength to surrender it to him. could be a simple thing like unbelief. God, I didn't want to believe you when you gave me that promise. It could be another simple thing like fear. God, I was afraid to step out because I honestly thought that people would make fun of me if I was bold and I did that for you. It could be an unforgiveness of somebody that the Lord really wants you to minister in their lives through grace and mercy. I just couldn't forgive that person. And I've made such a mockery of the gospel myself. And I guarantee you that even as now, as you lay it down, just begin to worship God. If you want to come up to the front, I'll pray for you. Like Philip did. Prayed for people to go, oh no. No, no, no. Okay. You'll have to get prayer in cells.